Fifi, Feb, and Nick.
It wouldn't be fair to compare Fifi, Feb, and Nick, but compare builders and you'll find the answer is Fairhaven Homes. The fair choice. Visit fairhavenhomes.com.au.
101.9. This is the Fox.
Yesterday morning, I get home after the show. My wife, baby's coming any day now. She's heavily pregnant, 36 weeks pregnant. So not exactly full of energy and zest for life. So I walk in the front door, I assess the situation, my 2.5-year-old son running around like a lunatic, looch tied on the couch, and I said, I'll take him out.
Ooh.
And we've walked down to the park. There's a big park near our place. It takes about 20 minutes to walk there. He's wrapped.
Gee, that's good. Do you take the pram?
Yeah. Good. Yeah. I'll make him walk a lot of it just to try and cook him.
I'll make him walk.
Yeah.
Just to cook him.
I'm yelling at him like SAS Australia, keep going.
In formation.
Your legs work. Come on, son. You know, he loves it. Loves a rev up. But we get to the park. He's not really interested in playing or on the playground equipment because what he started a couple of weeks ago, obviously, autumn's just finished. There's a lot of leaves on the ground around the place. And he's discovered just grabbing big handfuls of leaves, throwing them at dad, laugh, repeat. It's his favourite thing. So we'll have leaf fights. What I'm always worried about, though, is you never know. There's a big pile of leaves.
Oh, no.
You can pick up, there could be a can of Coke under there. There could be anything. There could be rubbish. There could be. It's funny you mentioned that, Fev. So, picks up a handful of leaves yesterday at the park, throws it at my face. The leaves all go in the ground. Okay, that something stinks. What's going on here?
This is the best.
I take my mask off because I'm wearing a mask at the park, turn it around. Oh! Dog poo.
No.
On the mask. I guess that's what we are wearing them for, protection. But then I have to make a decision. Do I walk home no mask and risk, you know, there's a massive testing center nearby. So there's cops around, there's everything. Do you cop a $1,500 fine or just walk home smelling dog poo?
Well, at least the mask matched your jocks.
Oh. What do you mean? Why would I have dog poo in my jocks?
It's not dog poo. Just a little poo stain.
It's on the outside of it?
That's just where my head went, mate.
But anyway, I walked home. I kept the mask on because I put Victoria first.
Oh,
I put the state first. We're getting out of this lockdown on Friday because I make sacrifices.
101.9 The Fox.
Controversial businessman, billionaire, government official. Sometimes he's voted into parliament. I'm talking about Clive Palmer.
Oh, yeah. He's part of the – had a ticket.
He did, didn't he?
I remember when he rang Doug Hawkins and said, can you be part of the – Dougie Hawkins was part of his ticket. He was never winning it.
But Clive Palmer, he's a bit controversial and he's gotten into trouble again. He's been accused of spreading misinformation to undermine vaccination efforts. Mm. He ran ads that aired across Queensland and the ads were part of a campaign, an anti-vaccine campaign. So he's in some hot water. And I thought, gee, you know, I mean – let's talk about Queensland for a second. It takes our minds off what's going on here in Victoria because the Queensland pollies are always just a little bit wrong.
Cuckoo.
Something's not right about
it. Well, I was up there on and off for the last couple of years.
Yes.
I was on Triple M in Brisbane. And, what they complain about with the coronavirus, very different to here. I went up there, stage 4 lockdown here, got up to Brisbane. And they're like, can you believe it? We can only have 45 people at a house party. You're like, that's pretty good, actually. Everything's fine.
Mm. Wish I had 45 people come to my house.
Well, in honour of Clive just making headlines, I thought, why don't we put together a little list?
I love your list.
Of not just Clive. I'm going to pop in a couple of other controversial pollies and just some of the wackiness that's come out of Queensland politics.
Vivi's got a list this morning.
I'll start with Clive. Remember after Bronwyn Bishop left politics and Clive just released this weird music video?
Goodbye, Bronwyn. Bronwyn, goodbye. Goodbye, Bronwyn. Bronwyn, Bronwyn, Bronwyn. Goodbye, bye-bye. Goodbye, Bronwyn. Bronwyn, goodbye. Goodbye. Twiddle-two.
Twiddle-twiddle-two.
He also was really dead keen on building Titanic 2.
Yeah.
He wanted to build the second Titanic.
It's amazing how some people have money.
Isn't it?
When the day comes, and it most surely will, when Titanic 2 sails into New York, you'll be able to say that you were here, tonight when it all began.
That's been built now, hasn't it?
Has it?
I think it has.
I don't think there's a Titanic 2.
I think there has.
Are you sure it's not like a reproduction of the original?
You're not thinking of the thing at Williamstown restaurant.
That's the Spirit of Tassie.
Now I'm going to move on to I'm going to move on to another controversial, hilarious Queensland politician, Pauline Hanson.
Oh, God.
There are those times that she confuses herself. Remember in politics when she was trying to argue a point about tax cuts?
Under Section 92 of the Australian Constitution, I believe it is unconstitutional for the state government to keep the borders closed.
I know how she feels. That's how I read live reads.
Oh, no.
You're not in Parliament.
Yeah. Well,
that's
I'm
all right.
On air. It's similar.
It's a tricky one.
I'm a news source.
But she also, I don't think, necessarily understands the term flip-flop.
One Nation will not be supporting company tax cuts. So I haven't flip-flopped. I said no originally, then I said yes, then I have said no, and I've stuck to it.
That's pretty funny.
One of the best.
Again, it's that jump we're talking about. You can't go Ipswich Fish and Chip Shop to Parliament. There's got to be a few steps in the middle. It's too much of a leap.
What about Bob Catter? I am going to end on him he adds hours of entertainment. Let's start. Firstly, with when he knew how to solve droughts.
In 45 years, I've been through, 400 droughts. The answers are, in fact, very simple. I mean, the answer is you put water on that ground and it grows grass.
Good point. He's going through a solid 10 droughts a year,
then,
by my calculations there.
In an interview, he was asked about the same-sex debate. This was an interesting answer.
People are entitled to their sexual proclivities. Let there be 1,000 blossoms bloom as far as I'm concerned. But I ain't spending any time on it, because in the meantime, every 3 months, a person is torn to pieces by a crocodile in North Queensland.
And my head went that way. And my leg went that way.
Doesn't make sense. Also, during an interview, he was asked his thoughts on the inclusion of female NRL referees.
Oh, girls God. Out there who want to ref too, want to be more involved in the NRL, bring it on, Bob.
Well, I just can't help but make the comment, if you looked at photographs of me when I was much younger, I was very, very handsome. But my nose droops.
You say so, Bob.
My nose droops and it goes sideways. And one of my...
I'm not seeing how this is related to female referees, but I figure there's a point.
This playing rugby league, but I cop plenty. But we don't want women playing football. They don't have a nose like mine and eyebrows like mine. But if you're not playing football, it's a bit hard to see how you can referee properly.
I'm just going to say, okay.
Is he saying because he had long hair?
I think he was saying he wants girls to stay pretty.
Yeah.
You're
not going to get my eyebrows.
Female umpires are the best. Can I just say that? Because
I'm
they've got no ego.
Mm. Mm.
And they just see it how it is and they call it how it is. Male umpires, and I've witnessed this, they won't like you. So they'll have an ego and they'll pay free kicks against you. They'll do something that they shouldn't do. Not that they don't umpire it properly, but females just don't care. They've got absolute ethics.
That's great feedback. Thank you on behalf of all female referees.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, I love it. Yeah. Now, finally, I just want to finish on Bob Catter singing.
Again?
Yeah, just one more. Just one more to take it home for no reason whatsoever. Singing Creedence Clearwater.
I see a bad moon rising. I feel election on the way. I see the major parties fighting. I see it's Independence Day.
He could have won a Carter if he called earlier today.
Baby, he's got a lift this morning.
101.9, The Fox.
Now, Nick, Josiah, we are in the midst of a great practical joker, a prankster. That's you.
Yeah, man, no.
No, so I'm just saying we are all.
Got scared that you didn't say
no, that. No, I was thinking about the...
What am I not here? Am I a ghost?
I was thinking about the sound.
Oh, okay. Mm. No, you, Fev, are a prankster. Love a prank. You often don't go for the long lead, though. Like, your pranks are quick pranks.
Oh, yeah.
I think if you're going to put pranksters in categories, you want a quick reaction.
Yeah. ADD.
I want to talk about people who go to great lengths with elaborate pranks, because there is a guy or girl in Sydney who is getting a lot of credit. A lot of people are praising the ingenuity of this. It's very clever. So when you fly into Sydney at the moment, as the plane is descending, you go over, you know, you go over rooftops and you can see the top of roofs on like a giant roof. It looks like a factory.
Well, they're normally big industrial estates near airports.
That's right. And it probably is. It will be a big industrial estate. They've written on the roof, "Welcome to Perth."
Great game. Oh, well done.
Isn't that brilliant?
It's brilliant.
How many people on that plane as it's landing look out and go, Hang on.
Yeah.
Am I on the right plane?
When you wake up.
What happened?
There's an air hostie that used to do that, or the captain, when they said, like, you'd fly to, like, Singapore, and they'd say, "Welcome, you've now landed in Tokyo," and everyone would freak, what?
Nothing makes me want to get off a plane faster. Like, ladies and gentlemen, today we're flying to Melbourne. Sorry, Sydney, we're in Melbourne. You go, you shouldn't be flying.
But that's a great gag.
I love that.
Brilliant.
The effort that's gone into it. That would have taken hours, possibly days, to in huge letters write, "Welcome to Perth." And it's so funny. And I'm thinking,
why I like it too is because it is making nobody happy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
nobody's
exactly.
flying into Sydney saying, "Welcome to Perth," and going, "Yes, we went to Perth instead." Nobody's pumped about that.
And also, the person who pulled off that prank, they're never going to see the reactions. Like, they've done that despite the fact they'll never get, because you know when you do a prank, you
but
go, I'm just going to watch. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, I'd have to watch. But you know, deep down, you'd leave that place, go to bed and go, "I'm going to get at least 3,000 people today."
But you couldn't do it, though. You have to see their reaction.
Oh, I'd have, I'd want to be on the plane.
How many passengers have
back
grabbed
on the plane again, Mr. Favola?
It's an expensive gag.
But see, it's a level of investing your time, making something elaborate. And 131060, we'd love to hear from you if you are one of these people and you put a lot of effort into a prank, or you've got a mate who's done it.
I did last year in lockdown. I played the long game.
Which was your long game?
Remember, Nick, I went down to a park with the kids.
Yes.
And under a rock just outside the playground, I stuck a 50-cent piece and buried it. Left it there for a week. Went back the week after and I said, "I reckon," to the kids, "I reckon there's some money hidden here somewhere." And they're like, "What do you mean?" I go, "I don't know. I can just smell. I just feel and sense there's money." Went to this rock, lifted it up, and I bet Lulu $10 if there was money there.
Oh, great.
And she's like, "There's no way there's money there." Dug the hole, pulled out the 50-cent piece. Lenny goes, "You probably buried that the other day."
See, they know you too well.
Yeah, they do.
But Lulu, I got Lulu.
I got my dad when I was a little kid. Where it was when the cricket would be live on the radio but delayed on TV.
I was
in the car with my mum going to Werribee Plaza, and I heard that Mark Taylor at the time had a run of at-bats where he scored over 50. Right, he's killing it. He goes out for 2. So we get home and I said to Dad, "Dad, I'll bet you $5 Mark Taylor won't make 20 runs." And he said, "You're on."
Bang.
And then he gets bowled out, and Dad immediately, "You heard that on the radio, didn't you?"
Another one I was just remembering, Jimmy Kimmel, great late show talk host over in the States. His mum wanted her house painted, and he arranged for people to go and paint it, but the whole house was painted pink. Like, so she got home and he recorded it, had the, you know, cameras there to record her reaction. Like, that's an expensive prank. That has to be completely repainted, but it's a lot of effort. Ali in Germana. Hi, Ali.
Hello.
Hey, Ali. Now, your husband, he's gotten you with an elaborate prank?
Oh, yes, he did. When we were first got together, like when we were, like, I was like 15, for 3 weeks, him and his mates kept telling me that there was these creeps down at the lake that used to hide in bushes. And then they were going to go down there and they were going to beat him up. And we're all kids, so I was just like, "Oh, whatever, you're not going to." And they just kept talking about it and talking about it. And then one night we caught a taxi there and we're walking, like heading towards the bush. And I'm like, "Oh, no, we should just go. Don't worry about it. Let's just go." And they're like, "No, we're going to get him. We're going to get him." And they run into the bushes and they start making like all this noise and like thrashing the bushes around. And then they come out and they're carrying like this body. And one's got one arm and the other has another arm and their mate's got the feet. And then they walk over to the lake and they, like, do the big swing and throw them in. And they land face first in the water with their arms spread out. And I'm like, "Oh, my God, this person is going to die. They're going to drown. We've got to get them out of there. If they drown, like, I'm an accessory to murder. My life's over." And, like, so I'm trying to, like, get them out, like, get to the lake to get them out or, like, to get away from them. And my husband grabs me and, like, so I start hitting him because I'm like, you're a murderer, get away from me. And then he's like, it's a scarecrow, it's a scarecrow. And it was a scarecrow. And they, like, winded me up for weeks.
That's a long game.
Good game, though. Even the kid in the background goes, Mum, did you do murder?
Yeah.
And also double prank, too, because it would have scared the cab driver. So where are you guys off to? Just to the lake to bash a creep. All right.
That is terrifying. I feel like that's the start of one of those docos on the CI channel. Woo, Elias from Greensboro. Thanks for that, Ali, by the way. Great story. Elias.
Great story.
How are you?
Hey, Fifi. Good. How are you?
Yeah, good, Elias. Are you a prankster?
My whole life. I mean, I've scared my sister half to death when we were younger and things like that, but always been a prankster. And then when I was working in the States at a gas station, I was pumping gas when I first started working for this company. And then later on, they had me helping them out, you know, because they knew I had computer skills in the office. So they had a petroleum distribution part of the company. So I would pump gas some days, and then some days I would go out and, you know, help them in the office. And one of the truck drivers who used to be, you know, a constant, see me constantly out at the gas station, saw me one day in the office, and I had my glasses on in front of the computer, and he's like, hey, Elias, how you doing? I'm like, oh, sorry, man, I'm not Elias. He's like, oh. He goes, who are you? I said, oh, I'm his twin brother, George. And he's like, oh, my God, you guys are identical. I'm like, listen, man, I'm the better-looking one, and you can tell Elias that. So he would go back a couple of days later, see me at the gas station and say, hey, your brother George said he's the better looking one. And I'd say, you tell George that I'm the thinner looking one, and he needs to lose weight. So he would come back a couple of days later and say, hey, your brother Elias said you need to lose weight. And he's like, and then we would go back and forth. And this went for 3 months.
Wow.
Until the boss walked in one day and said, hey, Elias, I need you to go over some numbers. And he's like, hang on, that's George. He's like, who the hell is George? And I just, I could, yeah, it was really bad.
Great game, though.
Right. Elias. Was awesome.
The only one that could really appreciate it was Elias and George.
I know.
Well, Elias. There's no George.
Oh, this is fun. Jim from Albert Park. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Jim, how are you?
Good, Jim. What was the prank you pulled that was quite elaborate?
J-bomb.
Yeah, so it was, I was about 15, 16 at the time, and my mum loved playing touch lotto, so Saturday night was a bit of a ritual, and the week before, the Saturday before, I decided to record the numbers that won, Division 1, and I went and played a ticket for it and wrote down the winning numbers.
Oh,
and
yes.
Back then it was VCR, so you could record. And so I went and played them, and I said, Mum, I got you a gift. I got you a touch lotto ticket. Handed over to her. She sat there, 7:30, all keen. So I was in the kitchen and, like, you know, just watching her. She started ticking the numbers off. She was like, you know, I can't remember. It was like 2. Oh, my God, I got it. You know, 7, I got it. 11, I got it. And then one by one, and then right at the end, she said, oh, we got all the numbers. And I'm like, oh, wow, you won Division 1, Mum. She's like, yeah. And she started freaking out. And I think at the time it was about 850, 900 grand. And then
Whoa. She
started jumping up and down. And then the TV just paused. And she's like, what's happened? And I go, Mum, I'm just kidding. I just bought you the tickets, but the numbers were from last week.
Oh, what a son.
Jim, how did she react?
She's never accepted a gift from me again.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
A TikToker has gone viral. He is a barista at Starbucks, and he has revealed in one of his videos that when customers are rude to him, he gives them decaf coffee instead of regular.
Sick.
And we've always heard this about people who work in food, that if they deal with attitude or people send stuff back, they do stuff.
I think everybody should have to do a hospitality job. Like South Korea, you've got to do 2 years in the military. Everybody should have to do 2 years of hospo. Then they won't be rude to people in hospo and retail.
It's not how things work, man.
But it's almost guaranteed that anyone that's rude to people in hospitality has never done a hospo job.
I'd like to know the stats on that.
Well, I think
I just made them up, 100%.
The point being, this guy... He's not alone, and there's a lot of Brewsters
out
there.
Is that bloody alcohol?
I don't know. I'm thinking there's a filter on his face. I don't know what's gone wrong with his face.
But that comedian guy.
But, see, these are the secrets that we love to hear about, and we even have a segment for it.
What's your profession confession? Tell us your work secrets. Just call up 13 10 60 and we'll hear all of them.
Profession confessions, and today the profession is baristas. Baristas, if you work in a cafe, we would love to hear, and we've got a voice disguiser if you want to be anonymous. What are the secrets that we don't know that's going on in cafes?
People would come in and go, oh, can I have a skinny cap almond short black latte with no sugar? What?
Yeah.
I used to work at a pub and people would ask for coffees with skim milk and my boss would just put water into normal milk and say that's probably what it is anyway.
Oh,
I'm
and
not
I don't
surprised.
Think he's wrong.
Yeah. See, I want to know, and I'd love to ask a barista or someone, anyone who works in a cafe, really, let's be honest, but I'd love to know when somebody gives you one of those massive orders, like I'll have an almond latte, skim though, with a bit of
extra
cinnamon
hot.
On top, but a bit of chocolate and mocha, half.
Half try.
Do you really do all of that, or do you just give them anything? Because I don't think people would always necessarily give the correct stuff, would you?
No.
I wouldn't.
I ask for a dirty chai because it sounds good. I don't know what's in it. Tastes good. I don't know what's in it. They could put anything in that.
And I'd love to hear the barista's views as well. I've got a mate, Nick Capri, comedian, who he believes that the longer your coffee order is, the less interesting your life is. You've got nothing going on. You're a boring unit.
So mine's a short black.
Bang. Look at
Life's
you.
That's interesting.
Now we've got Rebecca from Croydon. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Great, Beck. Now, you used to be a barista. Can you tell us a little secret from that world that we wouldn't know?
Oh, God. So I have got two really good stories for you guys. I am the annoying coffee order person, and I have been the barista.
How annoying. How annoying is it, Rebecca? What do you get?
Okay. My coffee order is a regular soy latte, weak and extra hot with chocolate on top.
Weak and extra hot? How do you even do that?
I know, and I feel so bad every time me and my partner go and get coffee. You should hear him. It's like an essay. He has to write it down and practice before we go places.
Doesn't the chocolate and soy don't go together? Isn't that the whole point, you have soy?
Don't miss it until you try it.
See, and you make your partner say it, which is annoying because my wife will get, what is it? It's like a tall, skinny, so the opposite of me, a tall, skinny decaf latte. And I apologize when I even have to say that. I'm like, just so you know, this isn't mine.
What do you
so
ask that for? Annoying you pregnant lady for a short out there. Piccolo?
Yeah, that's me.
But, and now, just you said you were a barista. What can you tell us from when you were a barista? What happens?
We had this one difficult man. I'm going to say difficult man. And every time he would come in, everyone would sort of run behind and be like, nah, stuff this.
Oh, no.
Something else, do his order. So he had a coffee. It was like a magic. So I'm not sure if a lot of people are familiar with like what a Melbourne magic is, but it's like a one shot with a bit of milk, with a little bit of froth. And then he would add an equal. And then he'd also add a little bit of cinnamon on top. Uh-huh. And with the poor girls, whenever they would put it through the counter, she'd be there for 10 minutes putting it through the computer, like, every time. And it was just like, no one knew what to make, no one knew how to make it, and we were all just very confused. And
he might have thought he was in Nimbin and asked for a mushroom with that order.
I don't know. And then a lot of people would come in as well and ask for, like, I'm not sure if it's a English sort of thing or a British thing. It would be like a shot of coffee with like a dollop of cream. And
so
I
how would you
no
deal with it, Beck? Like what would happen? Can you tell us anything from behind the scenes?
Oh, a lot of little bitching, a lot of people.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah, just that's complaining about the customers behind their back, as you should do.
Now we've got Paulie in Seaford. Hi, Paulie.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, Paulie. Welcome to the confessional, where you're going to tell us something we don't know that baristas get up to. What's gone on for you?
Well, I got told since I was a little kid, if you haven't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing. And we have a lot of rude customers come in when we're nothing but nice and bubbly for everyone. And if someone comes in with a bad attitude, we'll overburn their coffee and fizzle up their milk a bit too much.
Oh, great.
No fuss.
I love that, Paula, you're even denying yourself the return beans. Service. Yep. Like the fact that they'll never come back again.
Bloody oath. I might cop karma, but that's all right. What's your profession, confession? Tell us your work secrets. Just call up
131060 and we'll hear all of them. 1019 The Fox.
Now, I've got some more bad news for the team here in the studio. You know how...
What was the first bit of bad news?
Oh, it's just going to be really cold today. Oh. Cold's not great. But we've been focusing a little bit of late on shredding and losing some kilos and wanting... And particularly, Nick, I know you've been really wanting to shred. I don't know where you're at.
Have I, though? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I saw you have your Luxa King for lunch yesterday.
No,
so that...
dinner last night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That can't be too
But he
fatty,
had his Zinger in the morning, his Zinger burger.
I didn't have a Zinger burger. I had
what is
a
that?
Light schnitzel wrap from downstairs. Light crumb. Cannot. Yeah.
Anyway, bad news for the shredders. If he's eating lots of bread, and he's keeping himself fed, he says he's on a shred. But the shred is off. Dr. Carl Kruslensky, I never get his surname right, but we know our good friend Dr.
Susan
Carl, because we spoke to him a few weeks ago when he was gearing up, when we were gearing up for Boxy's big night out, and he gave us some tips on how to avoid a hangover. He has also now revealed that, unfortunately, you cannot lose weight if you are not sleeping much.
Ah.
And he's going
to... I knew it's not my fault.
Here's a grab of him explaining it.
When you get tired, your body works differently. So first, let's look at hormones. Going without sleep simultaneously increases actions of one hormone that makes you feel hungry and at the same time shuts down a hormone that makes you feel full. Result? Yep, you eat more. And second, then there's your brain. Being tired makes the part of your brain that controls impulses to stop working properly. So you get impulsive. Mm.
I'd love to ask Dr. Carl. I've seen Ben Cousins not sleep for 7 days and shred.
Yeah,
he's yoked.
That's a bit different.
He's looking real good.
But this is not good.
Anyway.
I think doing breakfast radio, doing these hours and attempting to shred is a waste of time. So I've just done you a favour, Nick.
Oh,
that's a favour.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Was thinking I was eating too much and too much junk, but it turns out
sleep.
I'm actually a victim.
Yes, you are.
From not getting enough sleep.
You are a victim and you're given a reprieve. You
every
don't
time
have to try
Charlie wakes up in the middle of the night, I should just yell out, "Dad's trying to shred."
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Well, this is quite a morning for us here in Melbourne. We are in lockdown. We are in the midst of being stuck in our homes. We need something to look forward to, and this is great news. Disney and Pixar have got a brand new movie, Luca, premiering Friday, 18th of June. Put it in the diaries. We need that. It's on its way. And we are joined now by one of the stars, six-time Grammy-nominated comedian, actor, writer, producer, Jim Gaffigan. Jim, welcome to the show.
How are you guys?
Oh,
good.
We're great.
We're in lockdown.
Yeah.
Just a little one.
It's like this pandemic that never ends.
Oh, Jim, it is. And I must say, what I love about this, Luca, is set on the Italian Riviera. So it's got escapism on lots of levels. I know that they sent, Disney Pixar sent a few of the researchers over to Positano and the Italian Riviera. I know you've been in lockdown through this process, but is there some promise at the end that you get to go and have a look?
Well, I was talking about that we should do the post. There should be some post research on the Italian Riviera.
Yes.
But it's weird. You watch this movie and then, you know, not only do you crave like pasta and gelato, but you also... You're like, all right, I got to go to Italy. I got to go and, capture some of this.
Is it hard to do the voice acting to be somebody that's on the Italian Riviera while you're in lockdown with five kids? Like, is it hard to jazz yourself up and pretend you're in that part of the world?
Yeah, thankfully, I have no idea what my character was going to look like. But there is something... You know, normally when you do voice work, you're not even, actors always say it's like you don't have to memorize lines. You don't have to even shower. But like during the pandemic, it's like I didn't even have to leave my house. It's like I imagine that the next job, I'll just be lying down or someone else will be saying the lines and I just get credit for it. It's eventually getting easier and easier.
Actually, I've always wanted to know that, Jim, and I think you just answered it. Do you see the visuals of the character before you do the voice? Do they give you all that prep or they just say go for it?
They sometimes have sketches, but and it's weird because, you know, sometimes in animation, not that I've done that much of it, but they will, the character will end up with your traits. So like if you have a big blockhead like me, your character might look like that. But like in this one, they already kind of drawn the guy. So even though I look Italian. I'm
Now, Jim, we're talking about sea monsters. Do you believe that there is sort of animals out there like that? Because last week we had a discussion about unicorns and vampires, which is more real. And I thought that unicorns were more real than vampires, but I think there might be sea monsters out there too.
The Loch Ness?
100% the Loch Ness.
Well, supposedly we've only explored like a very small fraction of the oceans. Like it's really uncharted lands or sea. So I don't know. I would think we would see some of them by now, right? I think, but like the whole mermaid thing, supposedly that was just like sailors are so lonely they confuse like a manatee for a woman. It's like how lonely are you?
I think we just got somewhat of an exclusive. Jim Gaffigan might believe in sea monsters. Jim, thank you so much for joining us. We're really excited about this. We're all parents, so this is a great time. Winter here in Melbourne. We're coming out of lockdown. We can look forward to Luca premiering 18th of June on Disney+. Thank you so much, Jim. Enjoy. Is that your house you're in?
Hang in there.
Yeah.
Hang in there.
We'll be all right, mate. Thanks, Jim.
Take care.
Fifi, Bev and Nick are the clear choice for your drive to work. And the clear choice when comparing builders is Fairhaven Homes. Fair and transparent service, clear from the start. Visit fairhavenhomes.com.au.